107 at 590 WKZO. Roger and Michael taking you home on a Monday. Got 52 on the outside. AccuWeather predicted 53, so they owe us a degree. You let me know if you see it. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo. And joining us now from the Kalamazoo Nature Center is Lisa Panich. Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Hi, Roger.
What's going on at the Nature Center? You don't close up just because winter's coming, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. We are open all year round except for a few days right around the holidays, and otherwise we are open all year. We have programs just about every Saturday and Sunday, and many times during the week as well. We can keep you occupied all winter.
Well, as a birder, winter is a fun time because it's so easy to see the wildlife,
right?
Birds in particular. And so do you have any of the trails, are they groomed for cross-country skiers or open for cross-country skiing?
We welcome cross-country skiing on several of the trails. We do not groom them. We also have a lot of snowshoe enthusiasts out here.
Okay. So talk to us about what's going on during the month of November.
Well, we have lots of programs around turkeys, obviously. Turkey trot. The owl programs start a little later in the winter. So we have a full calendar of events for November. And we hope you'll come out there. We've got tons going on in December as well.
We have some
trail tours once a month, and every month we explore a new trail.
And with an emphasis on what when you explore a trail?
When we explore a trail, we look at all of the habitat and things that we might find along that trail.
And what kind of expertise in the leader? Are they a birder? Are they for mammals? Or do you try to cover everything you can see?
We try to cover everything. Some of our naturalists are certainly bug experts. Others are mammal experts. Others are birders. Some people are fungus experts. So. But they're all very well-rounded as well, so mm-hmm. You can learn a lot along every trail we have.
Do you have to be a member to participate, or can you pay an extra day charge to go on the walks?
Yes, you can participate in any of the programs we have. Our membership is very reasonable, probably the most reasonable membership you'll ever find. But daily admission for adults is $7, for seniors, $6. Children and students 4 to 17 is $4, and kids 3 and under are free, so that's very reasonable, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of programs happening right around the holidays here. In fact, in December, from December 22nd through Wednesday, December 26th, through January 2, we've got winter discovery programs. So at 11 a.m. in the morning, we have a program for children, and at 2 p.m. every day, we have a program for all ages. And each day is a different theme.
Great. And do you have to have advance, do you have to make a reservation for the children's programs? Do they fill up during the holidays?
Or? Nope, we always have room for everyone. If a program needs registration, it will say so. We have all of our programs coming up on the front page of our website, a handy calendar to consult. And if there is special registration, which is not frequent, that will be stated there.
Okay. And if you had to pick one event out of the November multitude of opportunities, which one, what event makes your heart beat faster?
Well, I would say, knowing that you're a birder, I think it would be neat for people to join the Winter Feeder Survey. And that is something that they can do from home, from out here, wherever they would like. And they're just checking, counting birds and joining the survey.
And how does one join that survey?
They can call here and we can hook them up with the person that will get them the materials. This is a joint project between KNC and the Michigan Audubon, and it's a great project to do with your kids from home at your own feeders or to go out and just spot birds.
And is there anything about that program on your website?
Yes, there is. You can go to naturecenter.org and look for winter feeder survey.
Okay. Well, thanks, Lisa. I appreciate your taking time to give us a flavor of what's going on at the Nature Center. And it's good to know that you guys don't get to just sit back with your feet up all winter, that you are actively out there still educating the public.
The trails are at their most beautiful sometimes in the winter.
You're right on that. Hey, thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Roger.
Lisa Panich from the Kalamazoo Nature Center, one of the best nature centers in the country. Many people don't know that. Southwest Michigan is blessed with two nature centers in the top five in the country. Surrette Nature Center from St. Joe Benton Harbor and the Kalamazoo Nature Center, both in the best nature centers in the country. 590 WKZO time, 313, 52 degrees. We'll give you the complete evening AccuWeather forecast coming right up. Mostly cloudy right now, 52 degrees in Kalamazoo. Taking a look at area gas prices, starting off up in Hastings, $3.35, the best price there. Same price in Plainwell, $3.35, the going rate. Along West Main Street, $3.28 at the Meyer at 9th Street, and I just lost my map. Here we go. And but the best prices in Kalamazoo, along Gull Road, $3.23, the best price on Gull Road. That's at the Speedway at G Avenue. To the south of town, if we head toward Three Rivers, the price there, $3.27 at the Meyer on U.S. 131. Up in Pawpaw, $3.32, the best price, unless you go up to the corner of M40 at M43, it's $3.29 there. In Sturgis, the usual lowest price in the state, and right now, by Jove, I think they've got it. $3.19 at a number of stations. The best price in Battle Creek is not by the Firekeepers Casino. The absolute best price is a Marathon on Capitol Avenue Southwest. $3.24 there. But in Kalamazoo, the absolute lowest price is in Richland, $3.22, and then $3.23 as you work your way into town. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, right at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to Jane Zender. She's from Kids Countin, Michigan. And there's evidence that we need to work with children during their first 8 years. And the report that was issued, first 8 years, giving kids a foundation for a lifetime of success, says that we need to work with children that age to grow them into a thriving adult. Michigan's 1 million children from ages birth to eight benefit from some of the recommended supports during their early years, but a cohesive system with a well-funded program is really not in place. And we're going to talk to her about how we need to work with young people to get them off and running on a successful life. And I had read a study a few weeks back that talked about food insecurity having a lasting impact on young people, giving them baggage they carry the rest of their lives. And all of these things come together to impact the future generation. And Michigan doesn't right now have the leadership or the will to actually work with its young people. And so coming up right after 4 o'clock, we're going to talk with Jane Zender and find out what we could do to make life better for young people in the state of Michigan. And then in the last half of the 4 o'clock hour, Nancy Warren from Wolf Watcher will join us. And there was some startling revelations over the weekend. Something that those of us who had been watching the movement to wolf hunting had recognized before, and that was a lack of integrity in some of the data that was used to justify the wolf hunt. And actually, Senator Casperson talked about if this, in his mind, turns out to be true, that he would remove his support from wolf hunting. And we'll talk to Nancy Warren in the latter part of the 4 o'clock hour and talk about was there science behind the movement to kill wolves in the UP, or was this just taking care of trophy hunters? We'll find out when we talk to Nancy Warren at right around 4:40. WKZO.com, AccuWeather forecast, clouds and some breaks for sun this afternoon. Still brisk and chilly. We're down to 52. Mostly cloudy and breezy tonight, low 41. Mostly cloudy and milder tomorrow, a high of 58. Wednesday, we're going to see some rain. We're the lucky folks. There is a winter storm watch in effect for the Minneapolis area. I was chatting with an old friend up there this morning. And he told me about their winter storm watch. Not a huge storm. They're only supposed to get 2 or 3 inches. But nonetheless, we're still weeks away from Thanksgiving. And he wasn't looking forward to getting his Toro out already. WKZO time is 3:28. Raj Taylor and Michael taking you home. We got no incidents to report on Kalamazoo area streets, but that's what we're here for. Michael sitting by the phone, ever at the ready to take your calls and pass along the information. Michael, did I hear you say that somebody took a picture of you in your Jean-Luc Picard costume?
Yeah, my friend Rory did while I was handing out candy to kids. He took a picture of me.
And that's on your Facebook page?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to have to go see that.
Okay.
Where the young people, well, first, do they even know who Jean-Luc Picard is?
They knew that I was dressed up in a Star Trek uniform, but they didn't say that I was Captain Picard.
Well, you look like a captain.
I know.
Why wouldn't they have made a note of that?
I have no idea.
Most of the young people that came, you know, because Star Trek's been off the air a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the last iteration of Star Trek was not the blockbuster hit that previous iterations of Star Trek were.
Mm-mm.
And so it would seem lots of kids, but I guess all of that stuff is still in reruns someplace out there.
Yeah, on the Sci-Fi Channel, you can catch him.
Yeah, yeah. I went to see Ender's Game over the weekend.
Oh, cool. I was going to go see that movie at some point. Is it any good?
Yeah. It's not a... I'd give it a strong B.
Okay.
It was worth going to. Harrison Ford can carry just about any part.
And I love Harrison Ford movies.
Oh, yeah. And he plays a bad guy, which is a little hard to to take. But, no, it's a good movie. It moves right along. My review of a movie is if I fall asleep, that's a bad review.
Yeah, that is bad.
And I was awake right till the end of the movie. And it looks like it's the beginning of a series. And for a few minutes, we're going to actually be a trifecta. Roger and Michael on this end, and meteorologist extraordinaire Bob Larson on the other end. How you doing, Bob? Did you have a good weekend?
I did, Roger. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
Just fine. Actually, yesterday was really quite a pretty day. I got a lot of yard work done.
Leaf raking?
Leaf mulching, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was nice out. Today, not bad, but it's not as nice as it was yesterday.
No, it has clouded over, and the wind is starting to pick up, so... Temperatures on par with yesterday, low 50s yesterday, low 50s today, but a very different looking and kind of a different feeling day today.
Well, and the good news is I was talking to a friend of mine in Minneapolis this morning, and they have winter storm watches for Wednesday, so
exactly.
Our rain, they're going to have to walk their Toro.
Right.
Yeah, so we're lucky.
Exactly, exactly. And that very same storm... that you mentioned, the very same storm system will go on to bring us some rainfall, probably starting late tomorrow night. It's going to be with us Wednesday as well. And again, we're speaking rain, not snow, not ice. And following the rain will come windy, colder weather for Thursday. No extreme cold by any means, but it will be chilly again and blustery once we get to Thursday.
Blustery means...
That was one of my words last week.
Yeah, yeah. And a good one it was.
Kind of a cold wind when we talk about blustery.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay. I like it in the winter when we talk about breezy conditions. The word breezy in my mind, spring, just a puff of air going by.
Yeah.
Breezy in the wintertime can be a raging blizzard.
That's true. That's true. It certainly can have different meanings at different times of the year without question. And not so much in line with the wind or lack thereof, but that kind of leads to my word of the day with this forecast as I look big picture for the next 7 to 10 days. And that word is swift. I picked swift because weather systems are going to be and already are moving swiftly across the northern U.S. and the southern tier of Canada with one system after another lined up coming through. And more, it's basically cause of a very strong jet stream. Jet stream winds are moving along quickly, and that's pushing these weather systems along so very quickly. When we get into these type of weather patterns, it kind of keeps us from extremes because nothing can lock in the way a heat wave can lock in during the summertime where the heat and humidity just builds for days on end.
Right.
The way Arctic cold can lock in place for weeks at a time during the harsh cold of winter where it's just cold and it stays cold and it might get even colder down the road. This time around, when you have swift jet stream winds and weather systems are sweeping along, we have a storm system such as the one that we mentioned that will bring snow and wintry weather to Minneapolis and other parts of the northern plains, brings us rain, then it's followed by windy, colder weather Thursday. Then another system comes through, perhaps rain showers along about, and I don't think much, but there could be rain showers perhaps, say, Saturday. And then it's a little bit colder again beyond that for Sunday. And it's just one after another. I don't see any extreme cold. I don't see any major warm-ups or stretches of Indian summer. Just be one system after another. Each of these can kind of kick up the wind as they come through.
Bob, is this, I'm hearing sort of a winter pattern with these storms moving so quickly. Not so much the temperatures, but is the jet stream getting into a winter configuration?
It might be. What we're thinking is when you have a swift jet stream in one system after another without anything locking in, that you tend to look downstream or to our east and see what and look in the Atlantic. And then on up into the high latitudes, when you get what we call blocking, when meteorologists refer to blocking, that can cause weather systems to the west to kind of just lock up and not move all that much.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing any blocking right now, so these weather systems just keep sweeping along. And that would keep us from extreme cold, although we would have our share of chilly weather, but nothing that would stay particularly long. We're concerned that there would be blocking that sets up for the second half of the winter season, later January and February, and then it could be a different story. But we believe, at least for the start of the winter season, there will be a lack of blocking, and weather systems will just be swift.
And does that mean they're likely to be wet because it's Pacific air coming across the country, or is there any precipitation linked with this configuration?
It can be. Yes, you get it. They would tend to come across. That's one storm track. They would come right across the Pacific and right toward the Great Lakes with moisture. But also, if they're moving quickly, then you don't have a chance to tap into Gulf of Mexico moisture to the south. And that's a big moisture supplier for us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our biggest storms from the past have been storms that have come out of the southern plains in the lower Midwest with access to Gulf moisture. And that's when we often get slammed, be it with heavy rain or heavy snow.
Yeah.
So these systems wouldn't have a chance to load up on much moisture. So it doesn't really correlate to a lack of moisture or an excess of moisture.
Okay. So we're going to expect relatively normal temperatures.
Pretty much.
And relatively normal precipitation.
Big long term, yes. I mean, in advance of every one of these systems with a south wind, we'll have a day or so where it's above normal, and then after each system goes by, it's like a day or so below normal temperatures. It just swings back and forth. In the short term, it won't be as cold tonight as recent nights. Milder tomorrow, upper 50s, almost to 60. Rain moves in late tomorrow night and Wednesday. It's still mild, and then it's colder Thursday.
Okay, and we'll get an update on the winter storm that Minnesota is going to get on Wednesday when we talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Roger.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks, Bob. AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire. I got that from Jim McKinney and Bob Larson. Always enjoy talking to Bob. I made a posting on Facebook. I'm fairly active sharing things I've read that I found interesting. And I found a sort of cartoon that I'm concerned about Christmas creep. And when you see Christmas trees right behind the Halloween decorations, and we aren't even to Thanksgiving, that's pushing the season. When I had a store, I would not allow any Christmas decorations to the couple of days prior to Thanksgiving. By the time we got to Thanksgiving, the store was decked out for the season. But in general, I personally don't think we need to have holidays creeping into one into another. Well, one of the websites I look at frequently is from Consumer Reports, the magazine, and it's called The Consumerist. And a few weeks ago, somebody shared a picture of holiday creep that actually turned out to be a mystery because the reader discovered Easter-themed ice cream on the shelf at a Walmart. And that made everybody wonder, was it left over from the stuff from last Easter? Or was it very early for this coming Easter? And the way things are going in retail, nobody knew for certain. Consumer Reports contacted Walmart corporate. They didn't respond. When they did get a response, it came from a manager of the frozen food department at Walmart and said that I can shed light on the Mounds Easter ice cream. And ultimately, it was decided that it was late. We were directed to send it back in July or August, and both the department manager and a Unilever rep both missed the product, apparently buried in the frozen food at that Walmart. And the date code was good through mid-2014. And so there was no reason to not sell it. On a happier note, Walmart didn't instruct the store to throw it away. Walmart works with Feeding America to supply local food banks with surplus product, and they were instructed to donate it. So at least we're not seeing the Cadbury cream eggs, which I really like, by the way. At least we're not seeing the Cadbury cream eggs come out in front of Thanksgiving this year. They'll probably be out before Christmas. Matter of fact, I'm going to find out from you folks after a news update here. Are you as concerned about Christmas creep as I am? Should stores be open on Thanksgiving? We'll talk right after this. Raj Taylor and Michael riding home with you this afternoon. 52 degrees on the outside. 3:58 is the time if you're counting down the minutes till you get to get home. And we were talking about pushing the holiday season. A CBS correspondent talked with an expert at Villanova School of Business and said there's a number of reasons why people get cranky when we push holiday sales earlier and earlier every year. One is tradition, he says. Holidays in and of themselves are separated by demarcation in time. The end of Thanksgiving is the proverbial start of Christmas. So people see this demarcation as being important, in part because when they overlap, it disallows people to become fully engaged in the holiday and really enjoy themselves. Thanksgiving is always one of my favorite holidays. It really is a time to be with family and friends. There's no gifts. It's not commercial. It's really about just being with friends and sort of counting your blessings and being thankful. And I like that. And not to mention a big meal where everybody's expected to overeat. And I think overeating is a big part of the festivities. How about you, Michael?
Yeah, my family this year, we have plans to go over to see my cousins in Novi. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, getting together with family. And the fact that they're now opening up the stores on Thanksgiving Day really bugs me.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.